Estás escuchando el informativo Pacífica.
Los invitamos a visitar nuestro blog en pueblosinfronteras.wordpress.com.
Si deseas comunicarte con nosotros, puedes escribirnos al correo electrónico pueblosinfronteras@gmail.com.
El empresario Horacio Cartes será juramentado como presidente de Paraguay este jueves. La oposición y sectores populares temen su gobierno profundice políticas neoliberales. Cartes sustituye a Federico Franco, quien tomó el poder después de la destitución del presidente Fernando Lugo en lo que fue considerado un golpe parlamentario. Amanda Huerta con la información.
Con la asunción del empresario Horacio Cartes, vuelve al poder el Partido Colorado, el mismo que gobernó durante 60 años de forma ininterrumpida, incluyendo una dictadura militar. Con un claro perfil tecnócrata de centro-derecha, Cartes promete un gobierno para todos.
Va a ser el inicio de una historia que queremos todos los paraguayos. Un gobierno para todos. Un gobierno incluyente. Un gobierno para todos los paraguayos.
Sin embargo, desde los sectores populares agrupados en el Frente Guazú, las preocupaciones son amplias y variadas. Denuncian que este será un gobierno que continuará con las políticas golpistas de Federico Franco y de Restauración Conservadora.
Recortes presupuestarios en programas sociales. Quiere decir perseguir al sindicalismo y a la organización de los trabajadores. Quiere decir aislar al Paraguay y no colocarlo en la integración latinoamericana. Y ese tipo de política encontrará al Frente Guazú y a la mayoría del pueblo paraguayo confrontándola firmemente.
Mientras en la calle crecen las demandas sociales, el nuevo gobierno de Cartes se plantea continuar con la política de endeudamiento del Estado.
Porque es lo más fácil, es lo que no tiene oposición, digamos, de sectores económicos, incluso tiene el apoyo de sectores económicos, el sector financiero, el sector bancario, que estimula que el gobierno se endeude.
Organizaciones sociales y sindicales seguirán respondiendo con manifestaciones en la calle, lo que ellos pronostican será un gobierno de corte neoliberal.
Estamos sinceramente preocupados, ¿verdad? Nosotros vemos de que se va a aplicar en su máxima expresión el neoliberalismo, ¿verdad? Que eso implica recorte de los programas sociales, achicamiento del Estado. Eso significa despidos masivos también de compañeros y compañeras trabajadores.
Con todo un país en expectativa y la preocupación de los sectores sociales, será un empresario el que defina el nuevo rumbo del Paraguay para los próximos 5 años. Amanda Huerta Morán, Telesur Paraguay.
Continuamos con información de Estados Unidos. La emblemática ciudad de Detroit en el estado de Michigan se declaró en bancarrota el mes pasado. La que el siglo pasado fuera la ciudad industrial más importante de Estados Unidos, hoy tiene uno de los niveles de desempleo y pobreza más altos del país. Eduardo Martínez reporta.
Es el sureste de Detroit, conocido como el barrio mexicano. Aquí se asentaron los primeros inmigrantes hispanos, quienes a principios de la década de los 50 del siglo pasado llegaron para trabajar en la industria.
Se levantaron las compañías de autos y entonces había una prosperidad aquí que atrayó a mucho trabajador. Por ejemplo, cuando Henry Ford declaró que iba a pagar un sueldo impensable en este tiempo de $5 al día.
De las épocas de bonanza queda poco. Las grandes empresas se han ido y conseguir un empleo se ha convertido en una misión casi imposible para el 18% de la población económicamente activa.
Hay muchos trabajadores en las calles. Hay muchos problemas aquí. La droga y muchas de esas cosas. Hay gente bebiendo por todos lados y tampoco hay donde trabajar.
En julio pasado, el gobierno de Michigan admitió que la ciudad carecía de recursos para pagar la deuda calculada entre los 15.000 y 20.000 millones de dólares.
Ninguno de nosotros quería llegar hasta la bancarrota, y las primeras cosas que nos preocupaban era qué va a pensar la gente, que la policía no va a venir más, o que todo iba a parar, y es algo que teníamos realmente presente. Pero pueden estar tranquilos, las operaciones en Detroit continuarán con normalidad, los trabajadores serán pagados y habrá servicios.
Pero para la mayoría de los ciudadanos esas son solo promesas incumplidas, porque los servicios, incluso básicos, son deficientes.
Uno trata de ver las cosas buenas de Detroit, pero desafortunadamente ahorita no hay muchas cosas buenas, pero lo único que me gusta de aquí es que la gente, la comunidad, sí es muy, se junta mucho.
En las noches la ciudad se vuelve intransitable a pie por la oscuridad que envuelve a sus calles. y es que el 40% del alumbrado público simplemente no funciona. La situación que se vive en esta ciudad fronteriza con Canadá ha provocado que de los 2 millones de personas que vivían aquí en 1950, ahora se ha reducido a solo 750 mil. Eduardo Martínez, Telesur, Detroit.
En Egipto, el Ministerio de Salud de la Nación Norafricana reporta que 235 personas han perdido la vida y más de 1,000 resultaron heridas durante choques entre las fuerzas de seguridad y simpatizantes del depuesto presidente Mohamed Mursi durante los desalojos de plantones. El ministro del Interior, Mohamed Ibrahim, declaró ante los medios que 43 policías murieron durante el asalto. Añadió que 21 estaciones de policía y 7 iglesias cristianas fueron atacadas en el país, incluyendo el edificio del Ministerio de Finanzas en el Cairo. Escuchemos el reporte de Pablo Osoria desde las calles de Egipto.
En estos momentos hay en la calle del Cairo una gran desolación, es madrugada, además toque de queda, pero hay puntos de la ciudad capital principalmente donde hay congregado manifestantes, sobre todo los que se encontraban en la mezquita Rabat al-Alawiya y los que se encontraban también en la Plaza Nazla, en las afueras de la Universidad del Cairo, que fueron desalojados de esos puntos, pero sobre todo los que estaban en este segundo que le hacía mención se situaron en otra plaza que se encuentra en la barriada de Mohandi Singh, también en la gobernación de Giza. Son varios centenares de personas los que se encuentran ahí, también han armado un campamento y empiezan a organizarse para continuar con sus demandas. Lo más probable es que haber decretado el gobierno actual el estado de emergencia y el toque de queda, pues vuelve, irrumpa también en ese lugar donde los manifestantes intentan nuevamente acampar y lo desalojen de ese lugar. Además, el primer ministro del actual gobierno también decía que iban a hacer cumplir la ley, que en Egipto existía la ley.
Internacional mexicano Ángel Molina.
Estamos frente a una continuidad del gobierno de Mubarak, no solamente por las figuras que integran este gobierno de transición, sino mediante las estrategias que se emplean para garantizar la desmovilización de los grupos que aún están resistiendo. Hay que tener en cuenta que hay dos elementos fundamentales que emplea el gobierno y que ha utilizado en su momento Mubarak también. Por un lado, la represión sostenida, y por el otro lado, la dilación de los tiempos de normalización institucional. Esto procura la desmovilización absoluta de los grupos de resistencia, obliga a la radicalización de estos movimientos y, por lo tanto, a la posterior criminalización. Esta no es una estrategia nueva, es una estrategia que ya se ha utilizado con mucho éxito en 1992 por parte del gobierno de Argelia contra grupos islámicos que estaban a punto de acceder al poder, como el Frente Islámico de Salvación en su momento.
Raid Said es editor del diario El Mundo Árabe.
Tenemos estos grupos musulmanes fanáticos del Muslim Brotherhood, partido y de Salafi y Takfiri, que están tratando en cualquier manera de destruir el país, de matar las policías, quemar los carros. Lo que más feo de todo es quemar las iglesias de los hermanos cristianos allá en Egipto, romper los cruces y hacer un desorden que es increíble. Egipto, como un país, tiene una cultura, una civilización, tiene más que 7,000 años. Es imposible tener esta gente salvaje que están en el nombre de la democracia, querían destruir Egipto, querían romper la vida, querían interrumpir todo lo que es vida en este país tan querido para todos nosotros.
El sociólogo estadounidense James Petras.
Lo que está pasando en Egipto hoy es lo que pasó en Argelia hace 20 años, donde un golpe militar podría actuar contra un electorado mayoritario que votaran por partidos islámicos. Uno puede discrepar con los partidos islámicos, pero la oposición debe ser dentro de un marco democrático y constitucional. Debemos culpar también las fuerzas liberales, incluso sectores de izquierda, que estaban en la calle pidiendo la intervención militar, bajo la ilusión de que después de los militares ellos pueden subir a la presidencia. Este oportunismo resulta en este tipo de situación donde un gobierno masacrador han matado miles y heridos, encarcelados, etc. Y eso solo es el comienzo. Yo creo que dentro de los próximos días y semanas las víctimas van a crecer y forzar los cientos de miles de fuerzas democráticas y islámicas a ir a la lucha clandestina y llegar a un punto de guerra civil.
Gran parte de la defensa del presidente Mohamed Morsi y sus simpatizantes está basada en el hecho de que este fue electo con el 51% de los votos. De nuevo, Ray Said, editor del diario El Mundo Árabe.
Esta gente empezaron a decir a la gente que cualquier persona que no vota por Morsi se va a ir al infierno. Votar por Morsi es una cosa de religión. La religión permite este, la religión ordena este. Y más que este, concentraron en la gente pobre con 5 kilos de arroz, 5 kilos de azúcar y una botella de aceite de olivo. Todo el mundo se fue para votar. Hasta pagaron dinero a mucha gente, muchos pobres, para ir a votar.
Said añade que las promesas de campaña de Morsi no fueron cumplidas. Todo subió de precio menos el mango. Creció la deuda externa y Morsi ayudaba a Estados Unidos en su intento de derrocar al presidente Bashar al-Assad de Siria.
Él pensó que la legitimidad de su voto es más grande que aquella gente. Cuando se bajan 30 millones de personas a las calles de Egipto pidiendo que él salga, él pidió del ejército que toma orden y quita a esta gente de la calle. Lo que pasó es que el ejército no hizo esto. El ejército apoyó a la gente en la calle.
La situación está fluida y sin duda habrá más violencia. De hecho, el sociólogo James Petras asegura que con el correr de los días, el número de muertos y heridos crecerá considerablemente. Mientras tanto, la administración de Barack Obama continúa apoyando el status quo, es decir, a los militares egipcios. En Los Ángeles, yo soy Fernando Velázquez.
Hemos llegado al final de otra edición del Informativo Pacífica. A nombre del director del proyecto, Fernando Velázquez, se despide Norma Martínez.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
Well, so much for that dead air, folks. That's my apologies for the dead stream. I don't know who's responsible, but it wasn't me. Anyway, coming up next on the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's Bathrobe Spears Broadsides with a special guest, Dan Madison, also known as Singing Sean, or perhaps, well, Sean Deluge, as he's known in Gay Paris. So, stay tuned. I hope we are broadcasting. Well, in fact, if anyone's listening to this stream, can you please give a call to 427-3772 to confirm you're actually hearing us broadcast? Because I'm suspicious that there's a problem in our broadcast. Could be wrong. Hope I am. But let's find out.
You realize that if you're not broadcasting, you won't be able to call.
Yes. So, that will be a good point. So if someone wants to call in to reassure me that we're not just talking to ourselves here, that would be nice to know. And 427-3772 is the call-in number here. So give a call. In the meantime, let's have a little musical break while we contemplate this situation.
Thank you.
man, now living for the day. No space, no time, no place, no conscious mind, no living for yourself. No space, no time, no place, no conscious mind, no living for the day. No space, no time, no place, no conscious mind, no living for the day.
And if you can believe it, that was the music of R.T. Carter, who actually gave me this disc, not wanting to take any money. What a guy. I ran into him across from the Cinema 9 about a week ago, or maybe it was longer, I don't know. Anyway, you're tuned to the stream of Free Radio at freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris. If you're listening on August 15th, I think that's today, that's what my computer says, then you are listening to a live broadcast, and you can call in and be a part of a live broadcast. The phone number here is 831-427-3772, 831-427-3772. My name is Robert North. The name of the show is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. I'm starting a little bit late. I'd like to apologize for the late start, but Sean Deluge's fault. I mean, he slowed me up, he caused trouble, and he has this big guitar, which is making everybody think he and his son are criminals around town. How's the crime wave coming, Sean?
Very good, thank you. So far, I've gotten a lot of dirty looks.
Dirty looks are not enough, son. You have to be arrested, assaulted. We want to see some action downtown.
I'm sorry.
You know,
kind of new at this.
Weak-kneed, half-assed bullshit that you're giving us. Actually, Sean, your other name, actually your legal name, is Dan Madison, I believe?
Yes, that's true.
And you have the distinction of having, shall we say, dipped into the waters of Cruzio Works, a local 24-hour computer workspace, and they found your toe wanting. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's pretty much true. Though I was quite nice to them and tried desperately to have them like me. And I'm sad because now they don't, because they saw that I had a bike with panniers on it. And
panniers, well, being saddlebags.
Saddlebags. And
here out west, we call it saddlebags, son. You know, you got the problem with this. The French word, you're Mr. Deluge, and I appreciate all that shit. But I got to tell you, they don't go here. We ain't no gay Parisians. I mean, I know gay is big in town, but the fact of the matter is, saddlebags. Saddlebags is what they are. And that probably is the reason you encounter so much difficulty at Cruzio Works.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Actually, Cruzio Works has been offered an opportunity to explain why it cut short your contract a week and a half ago on a Black Tuesday, as we like to call it now, when you and your son came in and paid up to $300 for a workspace and an internet access. And you thought all was well, but you came back later and found, no, they didn't like your son's lingering and stimming behavior. He has, mild Asperger's syndrome?
No, he's full Asperger's. Mild autism, full Asperger's.
Whatever. In any case, you were he was obviously a known criminal or else a weirdo who did not need to be given access to the very delicate and security-conscious premises of Cruzio Works. Wouldn't you agree, Dan Madison?
Yeah, I think if we'd been successful, we would have moved here permanently, and that scares some people, which I don't know why, but, apparently having high intellectual people who are homeless is something Santa Cruz can do without, it seems.
Well, you can be high and you can be intellectual, but try not to be
highly intellectual.
That.
Yes.
I want to point out that we are going to be doing a picket tomorrow against the policy, or let's just say this specific practice of Cruzio Works and telling you to hit the road or kicking your butt out the door Tuesday before last. I know we did a protest last Friday, and you were kind of there explaining to folks. I think did you actually talk to any Crizio Works employees at all at any point?
I did talk to somebody who worked in the building, and I think they worked for Crizio, and they were a technical person, but I don't recall their name, or they didn't want me to recall their name. One of those things.
What was the upshot of the conversation?
That. They were surprised, very surprised that would happen. They thought that their employers were quite liberal and quite open-minded and would support somebody working to get out of the situation they are in instead of putting them back in a situation which makes it even harder for them to get out of.
Now, originally, I'm sorry we've gone over this terrain numerous times, it seems like, many times, but you initially told the authorities, you confessed that you were in fact a homeless person, correct?
Right away. First thing I said, hey, I'm a homeless person. I want to get out of that situation. I know how to do computer stuff. I'm a tech person. I can do things that make money online, but I need a space to do it in. I need long amounts of time.
So you begged for a space without paying any money? Is that what was going on
No,
here?
No, actually, I offered them full price.
Mm.
No discounts. And they were overjoyed that somebody's doing something to change the situation they're in.
This was a woman or a man who took
a
care
woman.
Of
her?
And
a
she
woman.
Was a... Was this the same woman who later advised you with regret in her eyes that she had to turn you down and revoke your
undoubtedly,
contract?
Undoubtedly, yes. Yes. That's
the same woman who appears in the picture in the Crizio Works family group
no.
of... No.
No,
okay.
No, she's not in that picture. She's apparently kind of a day manager or something like that.
Jahil?
I have no idea exactly what her
We don't know her name, but in any case, and she hasn't come forward with any honest, clear account, as far as I know, unless she's spoken to you behind the scenes, perhaps?
I have not gotten a word from anyone, and I've emailed several people and have not heard back, not even for their boilerplate response.
They did send a boilerplate response, of course, to Steve Schnarr. You can find that response online. I've kind of posted, I posted an announcement of our protest last Friday and also an announcement subsequently of our protest this Friday. And there's been a lot of interaction back and forth, a lot of subsequent posts, some of them, almost all of them, supporting you, Dan, in saying that it sounds like you were wrongly... denied service after you had paid for it, signed a contract, gotten a contract which has a 30-day requirement before it's revoked, right?
Yeah, by their own policies, they state that they have the right to change your contract, but they have to give you 30 days' notice. They gave me 30 seconds, basically, and... It's very unusual, I think.
Well, they knew you were a man of fast intellectual acumen, and you would be kind of bored by having to wait 30 days for a notice. You wanted to? No, probably not. In any case, I know there was a comment, a number of comments that appeared on IndieBay have been just very, it sounded like sarcastic criticisms of. Well, a lot of criticism of Huff and me personally, which. You know, it sort of goes without saying. Huff always gets the flack when we raise these issues. Why didn't you raise them in a better way? Why didn't you get a mediator to go? Why didn't you go to the courts? Why don't you, why do you associate yourself with Huff? Any responses to any of that? I know you did write a response.
Yeah, I don't believe that standing back and waiting for those who oppress... to make up their minds not to oppress is actually a good strategy. I think there were those in other places in history that did that, and it ended up going bad. I think that if you're going to take action, you take action right away. We may not be able to change anything at Crizio Works. I hope we can. I hope that people can see and understand my position. But the bigger picture is, if everyone takes action every time something like this goes on, then it's going to stop going on, because people are not going to want to get pointed out, and they're not going to want the light shining on them, and they will decide maybe it's just easier to not oppress people.
Well, I did the last comment I made on the Santa Cruz Indie Media, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. I encourage those who are listening to go check out the website, because there's a lot of back and forth, and there's a full description. We've kind of referenced it here in a comic manner, because I'm a little tired of repeating the same story, and you probably are too. You're nodding. Dan or Sean, either way, Sean in the studio, Dan on the streets, and probably something else in the boudoir, but we won't get into that. Yes. But in fact, there's still a lot of confusion. Let's put it this way. There's not really a lot of confusion, but your perception and your account of what happened to you, which was essentially, as you've described it, you paid your money. Someone complained about your son watching your bikes in the bike area that Cruzio had. Some tenant of the building that wasn't a Cruzio employee or part of Cruzio Works, but one that apparently complained later to Cruzio that they thought you were some kind of a junkie, or your son was, or not the right kind of person, or too homeless looking. It wasn't clear what they said, but you were on the, because of that anonymous email, at least that's what I guess the woman who originally took your money and then later tore up your contract, so to speak, told you, right?
Yeah. Basically, I was guilty of doing crimes in the future, and they need to secure themselves from these crimes.
They obviously have seen the Philip K. Dick-inspired movie, what the hell is it called? Future Tense, We Can Do It For You Wholesale, Naughty Naughty, I don't know. It slips my mind, but it's a society in which they have police officers can see into the future, and they go and eliminate the criminals before they happen. So this is really a future-looking group.
They're very high-tech there, I hear.
They're very high-tech. So they obviously have been able to use their time machine to determine that you, as a homeless person, and, of course, they assured us that they did not discriminate against the homeless. Just those that were obviously, in their time machine, criminal homeless people. I don't know. They didn't say any of that.
They may have seen me in the future in their machine, future machine, taking off my shirt, or maybe I was
taking off
washing
your shirt.
My face in the sink or something.
Well, actually, James, who is apparently the manager of the office, was sent an email by Steve Schnarr, and I'm sure you've read this, but and I may have mentioned this on the air before, but the response of Cruzio, and this is the only actual, I guess, official response we've seen, and it's a boilerplate response, but why not read it so you can hear what the Cruzio position seems to be at present, at least as they address it to Steve Schnarr. Cruzio Internet does not discriminate against any group or individual for any reason, nor do we tolerate discrimination from any of our employees. They just apparently respond to discrimination from tenants in the same building. It is our commitment, I'm adding that, they don't say that. It is our commitment to serve all individuals, James continues, in our community who are eligible for our services and abide by our terms of use. Our Cruzio co-working center is open to the whole community, but for the safety and security of our staff, here we go, the red flags go up, and members, we reserve the right to refuse or limit access at any time. We respond only to actions and do not make judgments based on categories. Cruzio Works said members who are homeless, and some of our staff have been homeless. But as a membership-based community, our members need to feel secure, comfortable, and away from those dirty, rotten homes. I'm not sorry. And safe in the space. And we take that responsibility very seriously. We often insist that a new member spend a certain amount of time as a 9-to-5 user before we give a 24/7 key card access to the facility. This provides a good way for new members to access the space while reassuring existing members. For the last 25 years, Cruzio has served the Santa Cruz community and supported many diverse local organizations, including Community Bridges, the Homeless Garden Project, and Second Harvest Food Bank, with free or discounted services, donations, and active involvement. We stand by our track record as an ethical, non-discriminatory company with a long history of community involvement that has kicked out Dan Madison.
Yeah, so I see.
And that last phrase goes not a letter.
So they don't discriminate, but if somebody's uncomfortable with your appearance, say you're a football player, or maybe a ballerina, or maybe you race cars, and somebody's uncomfortable with
what
that.
What about a black skin?
No, they'd never do that.
No, I see.
No.
Well, I mean, we have, now again, and it's interesting because It's been about a week and a half since this, what seems to me pretty clearly discriminatory action happened, the incident, whatever it was, which you've described to me and I've then described to the community using your account. And they have not responded to you directly. You sent them a letter, right?
I did.
And the only response has been to one of their members who also sent them a letter. He responded to that letter, by the way, by saying, "Thanks, James, for the thoughtful and detailed response." That's being very generous. "However, I'm still left wondering what's up with the guy who says he was denied service last week. Do you know the incident I'm talking about? If so, please honor my request to provide an explanation beyond generalities like, we reserve the right to refuse access. Thanks again, Steve." And this letter is dated August 12th. Today is August 15th. So at least in the last 3 days, there hasn't been any response.
Yeah, I think maybe that the person who saw my son out there started, like, I don't know, getting boils on her skin. And you know, that was enough to do it. Or maybe her eyesight started going bad. And, you know, we have to be aware of what people feel, you know, that if they feel something, maybe that they might explode if somebody with kinky hair walked in or something. That's a good enough reason to throw somebody out.
And, of course, the reason that Huff is concerned about this is because, as regular listeners of this show know, and as you'll probably hear from recorded accounts today, after, of course, hearing a tuneful song from Sing Song Sergio, as he's never called by anybody else, but has just been baptized or dumped with, that this practice of discrimination against homeless people on the security pretext is a big one, and it is going on a lot in Santa Cruz, based on fears roused by groups like Take Back Santa Cruz, Santa Cruz Neighbors, Santa Cruz Police Department, Sentinel, the news agencies. And these fears have a different agenda, which have to do with imposing harsher legislation locally and cutting back homeless services, and also essentially running homeless people, I was going to say out of sight and out of mind, but I want to be very particular here. The same people who are pushing the public security issue will also tell you that they're very concerned about the homeless, and I think they believe it, too. I think they believe these things, just as people who are racists in the South believe that they really care about black people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just they believe the best way for, you know, the two races to work is, you know, segregated.
Oh, yeah.
And that there's this natural criminal quality that black people have. And they got a good rhythm, though. You know, they got a very, very good rhythm, you know. And, you know, and they're really good boxers, you know. And, you know, very good at some sports.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, there is, I think, a series of stereotypes that has invaded. And I don't know, I don't think it's necessarily invaded the Cruzio Works people. But it's invaded their managers' willingness to cater to that kind of fear from other people.
It's amazing the power of supposition. It's amazing of the things that can happen if you suppose them to have happened or could happen. That you can come up with the whole city melting down if the number of homeless reaches a certain level, or the sun goes dead or something like that. I can't tell you, but there's a lot of good reasons there, I suppose.
Now, the reason that I'm bringing this up is not only because Dan is in the studio here, but because we're doing a picket tomorrow at 1 o'clock, to which I'm inviting the community to come on down. Also inviting homeless people to come down, and those who are concerned about this wave of fear and kind of McCarthyite, let's get rid of people, let's get rid of the very presence of homeless people so as to avoid the possibility of crime, somehow linking these groups together, so, which, you know, is a group, kind of a pretext that's been used to deal with other kinds of groups, whether they're, I don't know, gypsies, Jews, gays, you know.
Not just crime, but, you know, people going out of business because apparently the presence of somebody who's not quite had a bath recently is going to drive away their customers and they will not have any business anymore. of course, they don't realize that they're only one of 20 shops that sell exactly the same thing and are overpriced because the place is over rent. Oh, the price of rent is skyrocketing, and you know they don't have to worry about the fact that everybody's paying higher rents in the Bay Area and everybody's gotten into debt up to their earballs and can't afford to come down to Santa Cruz and spend $300 or $400 on a weekend. No, that would be a problem. It's the homeless.
Perhaps this is Grizzio Works calling in to explain its position more thoroughly. Let's see. Hi, you're on Free Radio, at least this is the stream of Free Radio, with Dan and Robert.
Hi. I'm having problems with the broadcast keeps dropping out.
You're having problems with the broadcast dropping out?
Yeah.
Bummer, because I've heard from another caller that the broadcast is going strong. But I would encourage you to keep listening, and maybe when at a later point I can try to work on this technically with you.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Give me a call after the show. We have some thoughts from Sean here.
Yeah, maybe it's my my mic on this end. Can you hear me?
I can hear you on the phone, but I can't hear you on the stream.
Oh.
Now, that's interesting.
It's been interrupted about 3 times, and it comes and goes.
Well, that is a bummer to hear.
Yeah, I know. I want to hear the show.
Well, you could always stay on the phone throughout the entire show, I suppose.
Yeah, I could do that. Hopefully you'll come back.
All right, well, thank you, caller.
Okay.
Well, that sucks. It may be a problem with that person's computer, maybe some other kind of problem. I want to bring up one more thing. So this picket tomorrow, has this happened to you in any other city? You've been in different cities. Have you faced this kind of discrimination at a workspace place? Have you paid for other workspaces in other cities?
No, I've never had that problem before.
Have you ever been to a paid-for-workspace space in other places?
No, I can't say I have. But I have been to collectives that do similar things that have internet and Wi-Fi and working spaces, but they were free. And they let us be there pretty much. They were open 24/7 and they were free. And they actually had quite a group of homeless people who hung out there.
So, one thing that appeared on this stream and is now gone, this thread that I'm looking at, this Santa Cruz Indie Media story, which people can find at indiebay.org/Santa Cruz under the name Cruzio Works Bans Homeless Customer. There was a claim that Cruzio had posted on this thread something to the effect of this father and son, because you were the father and your son, when you were essentially denied the service.
Yes.
Were kicked out because they believed you were going to be sleeping there. Did that ever come up as an issue, or have you heard anything about that as an issue?
Well, I actually told
them.
And
did you intend to sleep there?
Actually, no, I didn't. In fact, they have cameras there.
You got something
there
against sleeping in the workspace?
They record 24/7, and I told them there's no way I'm going to risk my ability to be there on doing something that dumb.
Now, are you talking about Cruzio Works?
I'm talking about Cruzio Works.
So they said they noted that they had 24-hour cameras?
Oh, yeah.
So you couldn't really have you'd done that without being seen immediately?
Oh, yeah.
So another thing that was asked by people who had heard about this incident was, did you or your son react in an angry, violent, or untoward way to the news that you were being escorted to the door as far as denied 24-hour service, though they did offer you daytime services?
I calmly stated my objections and left without any incident.
Well, that's what you've told me repeatedly. It's too bad we don't have a videotape. I guess there probably is a videotape of it in the Cruzio HQ. So, you know, it seems to me that were you aware that while you were talking to the Cruzio woman, that was that being videotaped?
I wasn't concerned about it, so I wasn't thinking about it, no.
I'm just wondering. You know, it seems to me that if they do mention that they videotape their workplace and workspaces, they may not videotape, you know, their initial encounters with people. But They didn't warn you that they were doing so.
No.
But it may be that in their offices you don't have an expectation of privacy because it's their space.
Exactly. In fact, I knew that there was no privacy. I knew that they would probably see it if my son or I had went to questionable websites or downloaded questionable material. They would have known that. They do monitor what you do. My intention, of course, was to do the work, try to get some money, try to get off the streets.
Well, what I'm saying is, though, that it seems to me that, they may have a videotape of the encounter that you had with them. And, in fact, you know, it's not unreasonable to ask them. In fact, I think I'll just send them an email right now asking them if they have a videotape, and that would certainly resolve the issue if they believe that you acted in some untoward way or they had some real reason to believe that you were a security risk based on your behavior other than extrapolating from your appearance as a homeless person, or just simply, I would suggest that they didn't extrapolate from your appearance as a homeless person because they didn't deny you services initially.
No.
It was rather based upon their willingness to put somebody else's fears and secondhand account over their own experience of you.
Yeah, and it wasn't apparently a Cruzio customer or even someone that worked there.
But it was one of the tenants.
It was one of the tenants of the building. And that's like going, well, geez, if I have an office in the same building as some other corporation, I can go in there and start changing policy, right? Isn't that how it works?
Yes, I recall when I went in there with you the next day in order to, you know, learn another from them directly why they had turned you down. They kept using the word, we're concerned about the security and comfort of our community. They used a phrase, our community or some such, again and again. And I guess they're more concerned about, I was going to say pandering to the bigotry of, or the apprehensions of another tenant, and then to even keeping your contract, because apparently they just didn't mind violating your contract because it required a 30-day notification.
Yes. And I have a feeling the person who made the complaint, which was a female, I was told it was a woman who had emailed them, is possibly extremely anti-homeless and might be even part of the Take Back Santa Cruz crowd. That because of the wording she told me, the way she talked to me, it was just like, if you're homeless, you have to be this way. You have to be that. Because
this is not the woman who denied you service later, but the woman who complained about your sons being standing near the bikes with the saddlebags.
Yes, because the first thing she said was, you know, a couple of junkies. And then when I explained to her we're customers and that we're just there to put our bikes until we get things situated, that there was a very temporary, only an hour or so. then she changed her position to drawing in the homeless junkies. It was always about junkies. It was always about bringing in junkies. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to leave my panniers and my guitar strapped to my bike and go inside the building because I'm no more willing to allow my things to be taken than they are to allow people to come in their offices and take things.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, this comment that showed up online which suggested that that Cruzio had this concern about you sleeping, it sounds unlikely, and it sounds like the kind of concern you might imagine that someone, that a business would have about a homeless person in a 24-hour service, but it doesn't sound like it's likely that it was actually posted. And I may be able to find out, because I may have been able to contact the Indy Bay people, whether such a comment was posted and removed. They don't normally divulge that kind of stuff to me, but it's possible. I can always ask them. I can also ask Santa Cruz Indy Cruzio Works if they have videotape that documents the Tuesday before last when you made a request. When you signed your contract and when, you know, there was this interaction with the bikes. I don't know. Was there security cameras out in the bike area?
I suppose there probably is. I wouldn't doubt it.
And that makes me suspect that they don't have any ground to stand on if there actually are such tapes. But, you know, I don't know. And all I know is that they can rectify the situation very quickly tomorrow during the 1 o'clock picket in front of Cruzio Works at Church Street and Cedar Street. That's where their offices are, the corner kind of across from the library, the main library, sort of, kitty corner, sort of, or kitty mid block. I think that would at least begin the resolution of this whole issue, although it seems to me a broader issue where there really is, we're putting a lot of energy into addressing this issue, trying to raise it, and I think, I'm hoping that tomorrow people will come to this protest, not just because they're concerned about you and your situation, and even discrimination at Cruzio Works, but they're concerned about this happening in other places in Santa Cruz, or perhaps even in other places throughout the country, but particularly in Santa Cruz.
Particularly in Santa Cruz. It doesn't take much. It's, you know, first it's you can't bring your backpack in here. Then it's you can't shop in here. And then you can't stand out in front. And then you can't be on the street. And then you, of course, can't be in this town. And, you know, things like that seem to, what they call snowballing.
I hear you. Well, let's hear a little music from you, Sean. This is all very well, but you are not just a apparently person who does what, 3D graphics? That's what you were going to...
I do 3D graphics. I make 3D worlds, virtual worlds.
Is your work online somewhere where people can see it?
Yeah, there's some. There's some.
Where would that be?
Well, I'd have to look it up because it's quite old now. But if they were to look under Adobe in Second Life, they might find it.
Okay.
And they would show a review of a virtual world I did, and Adobe's efforts to use that is a marketing ploy.
All righty. So in the meantime, let's hear some musical side of you.
All right.
Shopping malls. Now that we have wealthy merchants, you have no freedom at all. So shop and shut up. Shop and shut up. Better without that credit card. You're the only voice that you're allowed. When we wrote the Constitution, where every man was free, what we were really thinking of was malls and shopping sprees. So shop and shut up. Shop and shut up. Better without that credit card. It's the only voice that you're allowed. So all you working people better do as you're told. Freedom belongs to those with money. Laws are made by those with gold. So shop, shut up. Shop, shut up. Better without your credit card. It's the only voice that you're allowed.
Yow, shop and shut up.
That's right.
Well, you were trying to shop, and they didn't let you buy, or they didn't want you around to be there. That's too bad. Even though you were trying to follow the golden rule that she who has the gold makes the rules,
exactly.
Nonetheless, they didn't want to. So you also come on down tomorrow at 1 o'clock and join the picket. That's going to be, again, at Church and Cedar Streets at the Cruzio Works HQ in downtown Santa Cruz. And you know, it'd be great if there were some response from them that indicated that they either had some evidence that actually justified this kind of discriminatory behavior, or they wanted to apologize for it and just serve you like any other customer. Wouldn't that be nice? We'll see what happens. I'm not terribly optimistic, but raising the issue is important. Also, we're going to be raising the issues more broadly in Santa Cruz and elsewhere. Library, for example, is a spot. You use the library a lot here in Santa Cruz.
Yes. It's my only alternative to course, Cruzio works, and it's not an alternative. There's no way I could do the kind of work I needed to do that takes, you know, 10, 12, 14 hours a day.
Now, what's the situation there? I know they have security guards in the library a lot, which has kind of disconcerted me. Friendly as they may be later on when they chatted with us on Friday on the street, but and they've all these set of new rules. Thou shalt not fall asleep in the library. They were trying to put in new rules about service animals, but they were kind of brought up short on that. You're allowed to have emotional support animals. If they can trick you into saying it's a service animal and not an emotional support animal, then they can tell you to leave or go get a license or some such thing. But otherwise, you know, Americans with Disabilities Act allows you to, you don't have to present a lot of documentation or any.
Yeah, no, there's no requirement at all.
So, what's your experience been in the library there? Have they been treating you well?
As long as I don't bring in my guitar with a sleeping bag on it. If I brought a sleeping bag attached to my guitar, I am not allowed in.
Were you told that?
I was told that.
And under what circumstance were you told that? How did that happen?
That it actually looked shabby, and that it would block people's, of course, way through the library. Of course, it was a baby carriage, it'd be all right. Those baby carriages don't block people, of course.
So, were you in the library for a period of time with your guitar? Because I know you carried around a kind of a mobile unit.
Yeah, I have a sort of a little cart that I put my guitar on with a little amp. And I didn't have, at first, didn't have the sleeping bag on it. And then one day I decided to bring the sleeping bag with me on the cart, and was told quite quickly that it was the straw that broke the library's back. And
were you blocking an aisle with the?
No, it wasn't. But it was enough to make it a concern, and that I wasn't allowed to bring it back unless, of course, I took the sleeping bag off of it.
Well, maybe they were frightened at the thought of that other people might get sort of an incitement to sleep that you were suggesting to all the other people.
Yeah, they do. They get quite animate when somebody catches somebody sleeping in the library. They immediately throw them out.
Have you seen that happen?
I have seen that happen.
How many times?
Twice now.
And describe how that went.
Well, they would go over there and shake the person, usually by the shoulder, and then say, "You need to leave. You're sleeping." And the person would go, "I was just thinking," or "I was just quickly taking a nap," and no, "you need to leave now." And that was basically all there was to it. "And if you don't leave, you will be escorted out by the police." And that was generally all it took.
Any other instances of librarians or staff or security guards enforcing oppressive sounding kinds of rules?
I haven't seen it myself. I've heard, of course, one incident with a sign, but that's hearsay, and I can't really say anything about
and
it.
I've talked about that. That's with James, a fellow named James, who was told he couldn't have a sign which was sitting next to him. He had to turn it down so no one could see it.
It was too loud, huh?
Yeah, the sound was too loud. So you were able, for a short period of time, to have your guitar in the library. I guess they weren't so afraid of you starting to immediately play the guitar in the library, but the sleeping bag really got them in an uproar.
Something like that, yes.
And how long were you allowed to have your guitar before they told you no? How many times did you come in with that?
A couple of times. I think maybe 3 days, and then the fourth day I brought it in with the sleeping bag. But I was told quite quickly, "Don't come back with that sleeping bag on or you won't be allowed to be in here."
Did you have to leave at the moment, or did you?
No. They said just the next time I came. They were pretty nice about it, but I've gotten to know some of those people, and they can be reasonable, I guess, if you're somewhat known to them. I don't know how they respond to people they don't know or can't talk to, which there's a lot of people who don't like talking to other people, and that's their prerogative. That's their way.
Mm-hmm.
And they might get angry at those people, and unjustly so.
Or not angry, just officious and authoritarian, and kick them out without having any real emotional contact with them at all, expecting them to obey rules that are inherently oppressive and discriminatory, but are all set up for the good of the library customers, of course. Anyway, yeah, that really has ticked me off, that the library itself has been, you know...
Well, you know, whoever gives up their freedoms for security have neither freedom nor security.
I've heard that before, and it can be a trite cliche that isn't always true, or it can be a very deep truth, depending on the circumstances. Let's hear a little from, I guess this is last week or the week before. These are street interviews, and I want to get your reaction as well, if you're willing to sit this one out, Dan, and we'll see how this goes. I'm going to be calling this guy Dan and sometimes Sean, so don't get confused. It's all one person.
Got an interesting positive report from an anonymous individual who for the last two or three weeks has been sleeping in the downtown area on public property, but he leaves early in the morning at 6:30 and doesn't get there until 10 or 10:30 at night and has not been harassed by the police, keeps a clean campsite, and keeps his nose clean. In fact, I can verify that his nose is completely clean at this time. Yes, yes, clean and sober. And anything else you wish to report?
Nope, that's it. So far, so good.
Thank you.
Sean, I got to say that, you know, I think we talked about this last time you were in the studio, but you yourself have been gone all the way out to the Homeless Lack of Services Center, signed up for their waiting list, which then supposedly immunizes you from prosecution for any sleeping tickets. And so that should mean that you're not going to be harassed by police, because why bother to ticket someone who has immunization anyway? But then you run into an unusual problem, or actually a rather perhaps standard and acceptable problem, and that problem is what?
Well, there's always the move or else order. And, of course, the or else could be a matrix of different solutions on their behalf, whatever they want to do, such as... ticket you for trespassing, ticket you for, I don't know, lynching. I've heard of such things.
That's only if you try to take someone out of the custody of a police officer.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Or string up a politician.
Okay. I didn't know that's what you had to do.
But
let's say my son said, we don't like you telling us what to do all the time, and he said, you're under arrest, and I said, come on, son, let's go. That could be considered, I guess, lynching.
If you're under arrest, you're supposed to stop what you're doing. But, I mean, let me ask you, you've been sleeping on the east side of town, different places. Were you on private property or on public property?
I was on public property.
There's no trespass on public property, unless you are, of course, near a public building like the county building, where you'd think as the county seat, that would be the place where it would be legal for you to sit all night with a sign and maybe not fall asleep, because sleep is a crime in Santa Cruz, but at least to protest, be present.
Actually,
but
it was a federal building I was next to.
Okay. Well, if you were next to a federal building... my usual response is to advise people to say things like, oh, officer, what am I doing wrong? What ordinance am I violating? And they get them to say so. And then you say things like, if it's during the day, you say, you want to talk to your sergeant, you know, because I'd be happy to, I think you're mistaken about this. And if they bring their sergeant and they're still insistent, you say, okay, I'd like to be taken to a magistrate, if the courts are open, because then you have a right to go there for a probable cause hearing, not at night. Not on the weekends. But Santa Cruz, not only just state law, but Santa Cruz general orders of the Santa Cruz Police Department actually has written into their orders that they are required to take you before a magistrate for a probable cause hearing if you so request, if before writing a citation. You don't say, I'm not refusing to sign the citation, but I would like to be taken to a magistrate first. The problem, you know, you would think that, well, you know, I'd say, well, Dan, why don't you just fuck tell the officer in the polite but strong terms, you know, not take me to a magistrate because it's 5 in the morning or whatever they come when they come by. But, you know, I've signed up for the Homeless Lack of Services Center. They wouldn't give me a receipt even though I asked for it. But I am on that list. it's pointless to give me a ticket, and so unless you can give me another place to sleep, I'm going to have to stay here.
Actually, I told him that I was on the waiting list, and he said, I don't care. And I said, well, give me a ticket. He goes, I'm not here to give you a ticket. I'm here to get you to move.
And again, the response could be, well, I appreciate that, officer, but as you know, there's no legal place to go unless you have one, so I'm just going to stay here.
I did that as well. I said, I do not have anywhere to go. Everywhere I go, I'm going to be told the exact same thing.
Then you can do what Dreamcatcher did, is you just lie down and go back to sleep. That's his response, or yeah. It was.
And then he suggested something, which I wish I'd recorded it, because he suggested I go to another city and break the law.
I see. So, again, you're not breaking the law if you're on... This is, of course, he's wrong. I mean, it's true. It's against the law to sleep in Santa Cruz. But one of the exceptions is if you're on the waiting list of the Paul Lee Loft,
yep,
or the River Street Shelter. And you are on which waiting list?
I'm on all three.
There are only two.
Well, I'm on the 30-day shelter one. And
Paul Lee Loft.
And I'm on the, what is it, the six-month...
Paige Smith?
Yeah. But I'm also on the 180 program.
Ah, that's not involved. That's yeah. And Paige Smith is not included either. It would be the River Street Shelter, which is the one you're probably not on.
I think I am on that one.
Perhaps.
Because they were both shelters, the ones I signed up for, and the, of course, 180.
So the point is that if an officer then either arrests you or gives you a ticket, you are... he's violating the law. The ticket won't go anywhere. But your concern is, as you've told me numerous times, that what?
I'll get arrested and my possessions, what little I have, will disappear. And that, or they will be destroyed by accident, which is, I heard, quite common. And I can't afford to lose what little I have. My guitar here is nice. I'd like to keep it. I'd like to be able to continue playing music. I don't make a lot of money, and in fact, I rarely make any money at all. But you never know. I might be asked to play on a radio show sometime.
Well, after this performance, we don't know if that will ever happen again. But it could. It could happen. So let's, again, hear some more of this tape. And we'll see what, we'll hear what we'll hear.
So, George, you say you also have observed this phenomenon of your...
I share one rule to notice.
There's a common belief that people will not be hassled as long as they get up fairly early and keep things clean, and your experience has been that, I think, George, is what you're saying.
And before we continue with what George's experience is, what's your experience? Have you been able to, by maintaining a schedule, avoid contact with the police generally, or is that not a good option? How's that?
I've tried to avoid the sweeps. There's supposedly some.
Have you been able to by taking that course or not?
It's hard to know because.
Have you found as a rule, if you get up early and you go to bed late, you will not be hassled, or is that just not a good general rule?
No, that's definitely a good general rule.
But is it true that it pretty much secures you, or is just something?
No, it does not secure you in any way. There could be a police officer who goes by and spots you and decides that he's bored and needs to harass you, or a good Samaritan citizen go by and say, oh, what a poor darling sleeping on the street. I'm going to call the police and have them moved.
Indeed. You're tuned to the stream of free radio if you're listening on August 15th, Thursday night, the night before the massive protest that will be in front of Cruzio Works, or possibly the teeny tiny protest that will be in front of Cruzio Works. We'll see at 1 o'clock tomorrow against the denial of services to Dan Madison. Please do call in if you've got some thoughts or comments or updates, 427-3772. That's 427-3772, area code 831. And Dan and I will be happy to enlighten you, provide you words of encouragement, and tell you interesting stories, or at least make comments in response. Did you have another song you were threatening to play, Dan?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, we'll think about it. Well, he's going to give himself time to think. Meanwhile, let's get back to street interviews.
I don't camp out.
So. But you're not a camper. You're a renter, you might even say.
Yes, I am a renter.
And the General Assembly is over. It's about 10 after 6. Resolutions were passed supporting a protest next Friday and a picket at the Cruzio Works. An investigation of solidarity with the convergence happening down the road up in San Francisco. Possibly a protest at the NSA headquarters or one of the three NSA buildings.
This is a series of announcements kind of describing what happened at the Saturday Occupy Santa Cruz 5:30 meeting, which happens weekly in front of the main post office, in case you're wondering. And Dan, you've been to a couple of those. What's your reaction to those Occupy meetings?
I'd love to see more people come down there. I know there are people just dying to vent their anger and frustration over things that happened to them concerning their tax dollars, their experiences with public officials and employers, their experiences with traffic, whatever. They should come down there. They should be speaking out their minds.
Yeah, and we'll see. It's like, however, the Occupy movement, which is, you know, there's residues of it in different places, and there is this convergence coming up mentioned by, it was mentioned at the Occupy, and you can learn more about it by either going to, I guess, Occupy Santa Cruz. It's probably been posted on there. But it's also true that the organization is small. There's sort of a small, dedicated number of people who keep showing up. I'm usually there on Saturday at 5:30. It's open to everybody.
Up in San Francisco. And what else? Not for broadcast.
And I think what I'm going to do now is take a musical break, and you can either play something or I can play something here.
I'll try to play something.
Okay, we got a original number, perhaps?
Yes, everything I do is original. I wrote it myself.
I went searching real deep down in my soul. Couldn't find anything, just a big zero. That's the sign of our times. I guess that's the way it is. Should I go out and then get real drunk, or should I wait till I miss? I thought there would be a place where I'd fit in, and I ran around like a headless chicken with a big sheep-knitting grin. That's the sign of our times. Guess that's the way it is. I better not get way too high. You'll never know what I'll miss. I knew there was all kinds of noise coming from my head. Darkness beckons me from inside. I didn't know I would cross that bridge. It's the sign of our times. I guess that's the way it is. I better not get way too drunk, 'cause you'll never know what I'll miss. Yeah, it's the sign of our times. I guess that's the way it is. I better not get way too high tonight, 'cause you'll never know what I'll miss.
All right. Never Know What I'll Miss by our own Sean Deluge. So let's hear some more street interviews, and then we're actually going to go back to the Friday protest that we had last week. You can get an idea. If you're thinking of coming down and you're listening to this protest, you're thinking of coming to the Friday protest tomorrow, get an idea of the kind of conversations we had back then. And it was lively, I would say. It was sometimes boisterous, perhaps sometimes boring. I wasn't really bored through much of the protest. Were you, Dan? What was your feeling?
No, I wasn't bored. I got to talk to quite a few people about it.
Yeah, I think so. All right, let's listen to a few interviews, and we'll go directly into some prior tape from last Friday.
Well, I'm down here at the Red Church. It is the 12th of August, 2013, about, 5:15. I'm talking with
Kyle Yanushka.
And Kyle, you say that you're now a famous movie star on somebody's screen?
Oh, boy, I wish.
what happened?
Well, I was sleeping in the morning at my camp with several of my campmates, and I came down the mountain, and other homeless people had observed that we were being had pictures taken of us by seven different people, all with cameras.
Now, did you see this yourself, or did they simply tell you that?
They simply told me that, and then just the other morning, I caught people taking pictures of us again.
Maybe these were tourists wanting to, see the wildlife nearby.
Definitely not. They were. What is that called? Giving a very clear message that they weren't happy with the homeless in the community.
What did they look like?
Just normal people.
Where did you see these folks?
Over by the cemetery, up by the shelter.
And what kind of photographic devices were they using?
Very pricey looking cameras with big lenses.
Did they say anything to you?
Nope.
Did you demand a copy of the photo for later?
No, they actually got away pretty quickly.
They seem to be uncomfortable with you being there?
Very much so.
And you're camping out illegally, of course?
Actually, we have permission by the curator.
Oh, really?
Of the cemetery.
That's interesting. And how many viewers are... If you want... This goes on the radio. Is this okay to put this out on the radio or not?
Most definitely.
All right. And how many folks are there?
Probably about 8 or 9, but in my section where I camp is 3, me and 2 other people.
Are folks keeping a clean campsite?
We actually keep it very clean, and we have a pledge posted on our camp saying that we keep it clean.
Sanctuary pledge from Brent Adams?
Yeah.
And is it, have you had any trouble with police or security guards?
No, we actually camp away from, where we're seen or where we can be any problem, And we haven't had any problems with the police or anything lately.
How long has that been going for?
Quite a long time. I slept in the same spot for about a year.
About a year, wow. And that's true for the other folks there too? Or?
Most definitely. Most of them, all about a year.
Well, pass on the word of this protest on Friday to the... Did I give you one of these? I gave you one of these, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. I give you some to pass out if you want.
Cool.
Just, it's 1 o'clock on Friday. Cruzio Works, which is about... Well, it's 2 blocks from here, in that direction. So,
yep.
And we've been talking with...
Kyle Yanushka.
Thanks, Kyle.
I got a couple of comments to make, and then I got a question to ask you, Sean. The comments are, first of all, Brent Adams has this sort of plastic encapsulated, what's the right phrase? It's a piece of paper that's, it's a medallion that essentially says Santa Cruz Security Camp Pledge, a pledge to keep the area clean, and various campers are kind of wearing them or putting them up at their campsites, as Kyle says he's doing. And Brent Adams, of course, is seeking a sanctuary campground. And I spoke with him earlier today. He goes to a court tomorrow at the request of his attorney and probably the 3 other remaining defendants of the Santa Cruz 11, I call them the final 4, who are accused of... what they actually did was they did a protest inside a bank building that was not a bank. That was it was essentially a vacant building for 4 or 5 years, right across from the Wells Fargo building, but leased by Wells Fargo at 75 River Street. And they're facing felony charges of felony vandalism, not because they themselves are accused of committing any vandalism, but because somebody else in the building did, and they are... considered to be enablers of the vandalism because they were there, which is a nice way of eliminating any political protesters whatsoever and future protests. But that happens at 8:15 tomorrow morning, for those of you who want to come down. Not the trial. It is essentially a status hearing that will determine if the trial goes forward, and it's unlikely to have much impact. And Brent Adams said he much preferred people come to the trial than to come to that hearing. But you can if you want. I may be there myself. I'm not sure. It's 8:15 in the morning. That's tomorrow morning, August 16th, in Department 6. That's Judge Burdick's court, usually. And that's Brent Adams, Gabriella Ripley Phipps, Cameron Lorando, and Angel Alcantara are the four defendants. Wow, I actually remembered all their names. Amazing. But what I wanted to ask you about, Sean, is you called me last night, or we spoke on the phone last night, and you said you had received word that there was going to be a raid on campers in the Harvey West Park area.
Yes, there actually was.
And do you have any reports on that?
No, the people I talked to were the ones who didn't get caught in the raid. They got out just in the nick of time. The raid happened about 7 a.m., not at 5. They weren't sure exactly whether it was going to be at 5 or between the hours of 5 and 8. So apparently it was at 7, but it did go down.
Now, have you been out to the Harvey West area and observed camping out there?
Yes, I have.
And is there a lot of mess, a lot of violence, people shooting up wildly? What's going on out there?
No, actually, it's quite calm, and people are very, they're good about keeping it low-key and just sleeping. They're just sleeping.
Sleeping is a crime, Sean. Deluge, if you will.
Deluge,
yes. How many people were out there when you were visiting the area?
My guess would be anywhere from 15 to 30. I can't really tell. It's quite a big area.
Are they interfering with other people's use of the property, as far as you can see?
No. In fact, usually they come there after most of the other people go home.
And they don't leave a lot of pee and poo around?
No. There's actually, one of the good things about it is there's a bathroom, and it's open 24/7.
Wait a minute. I've never heard of such a thing. Tell me more. We'll broadcast this wildly. People will be coming from all over the state to this 24-hour bathroom.
Yes, that's right. 24-hour bathroom.
Where is it?
It's nice and clean. There may not be toilet paper. It gets runs out pretty quickly.
Now, is this a bathroom or a porta potty?
No, it is a bathroom. It is right next to one of the baseball fields.
It's open 24 hours a day.
It's open 24 hours a day, from what I can tell. I've gone there a couple of times, and it's been open. And it was 5 in the morning, and it was open. So, and I was there at 11 o'clock at night. So I assume it's probably going to be open at 1 in the morning. I generally am sleeping by then.
Well, this is interesting news because I've been, I always come on with my mantra: no 24-hour bathrooms in Santa Cruz. No 24-hour bathrooms in Santa Cruz. I'm not urging that there be none, but that there are none. Where the hell are they? And I know that they got showers on the beach. I don't know when they close. I know that they're planning a porta potty, or maybe they've even installed one. I don't think they have yet, at the parking lot near the Community Credit Union as part of Micah Posner's solution to the poo-poo problem.
Mm.
A fenced-in bathroom at a cost of $15,000, or is it $50,000?
$16,000.
I don't know. 000. But if there already is a bathroom at Harvey West, is the bathroom trashed usually?
No, it's actually in good shape. In fact, I haven't seen any graffiti there at all.
When was the last time you were using this bathroom?
Yesterday morning.
And did you pee and poo properly?
Yes, and there was actually toilet paper, so I had no problem with that end of it either.
So it's a salute to the, I guess, Parks and Rec that maintains the bathroom. So I'm frankly surprised and pleased to hear this, and even though it takes away some of my thunder, nonetheless, it's certainly good to hear. Any other comment?
Well, I hope that now that everyone knows about it, they are still going to continue to take good care of it, and that not to give any excuses for the city to shut it down.
That's what Micah Posner has urged with the 24-hour porta potty that's coming up, and I certainly would concur, although I'd say, I don't want to. Maintenance is required in all kinds of public facilities like this, and it should never be used as an excuse for cutting them off by claiming that people are pooing and peeing badly. It's true you have drunks late at night, and I'm talking about, housed drunks as well as homeless drunks who come out of the bars and cause, they piss on the streets and they I'm told, and they, you know, use the toilet facilities roughly, but I haven't heard there's been a lot of problem with the bathrooms at Cafe Gratitude and Pizza My Heart, two of the visitors' bathrooms that are better than the daytime bathrooms open in the parking garages, or at least one of the parking garages. I guess the other ones have been closed up, the one on Walnut Street. So let's hear some more, and maybe from you and your phone calls out there, listeners. 427-3772 is the call-in number. Come on now, you can do it.
Let me hear about that. We're talking with
Heather Anderson.
And Heather, you say that you're no longer on the street?
No, sir, I'm not.
And but while you were on the street, you had some problems?
Very much so with law enforcement. They harassed us all the time. They looked at us as bottom dwellers, and they would harass us continuously. And then also they would not even try and help us if we were, like, say, in trouble or something like that. They would just ignore it.
And how long were you on the street?
5 years.
And was it here at Santa Cruz?
No, it was actually in Minneapolis, Minnesota, so it's happening all over the place.
And you came here and not homeless?
Yes, I was actually homeless when I first got here 4 years ago.
And how long were you homeless here?
2 months.
Any hassles while you were homeless?
A little bit. The cops were a little forceful and disrespectful with me, but I kind of stay under the radar from them, so I try to be respectful to everybody, so they didn't really give me too much of a problem, I guess, because I was submissive.
Submissive? You were submissive?
Very much so, yes.
Well, we've been talking with
Heather Anderson.
Anything else you want to say, Heather?
Keep on fighting the good fight.
You're here. Thank you.
Blanket.
Talking with
Linda Coburn.
And Linda, you say a blanket thief has arrived.
Blanket thieves have arrived, and they left me a notice saying they took my blanket, and it was from the sheriff's.
Sheriff's.
The sheriff's came and took my blanket.
When was this?
Last week.
And where were you?
My stuff was stashed over there by San Lorenzo.
And what was the nature of the notice? What did it say?
It says your things were moved because, you know, you're on a park, outer skirts of the park, like almost towards the river.
San Lorenzo Park?
Yeah. Outskirts, you know, towards the river park.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in violation of penal code, blah, 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 blah. And if you want your property back, you can come get it, but then nobody could find it.
You went and tried to find it?
Yeah.
How long after did you...
Just that afternoon, they told me they took my stuff and left a note.
Now, the sheriff's then were working for the Parks and Rec. This was the police, which...
Yes, it was the sheriff's department.
Sheriff's department.
Yeah.
Interesting. And so the sheriff's didn't refer you to the police department or
no,
the Parks and Rec?
No, you come and pick your stuff up at the sheriff's office.
Wow.
And people said it was... they were on horseback.
And so people saw them take the property?
Right, and they told me they took my property. And
anybody
whatever.
Else lose their stuff that you know of?
No, not yet. I haven't heard anymore, but...
What else did you lose? Just a blanket, or...?
Oh, my backpack and all my clothes and my important paperwork and, you know, my ID and my Social Security card and...
Sounds like
Medi-Cal,
fun.
You know, things I...
How old are you?
I'm 50.
And what's your next step? Are you going to be sleeping out tonight without a blanket? Yes, you have been the last couple nights.
Yes, I have been. I've had a sweatshirt, my leather jacket, and my winter jacket over me.
Alone or in company?
Alone.
And how is it that you're a single woman, 50? How does that feel out there? Are you feeling particularly vulnerable? Do you feel like, what's the story?
I don't feel really vulnerable if I have to walk the streets at night because there's other people out here that have that same problem, have, you know, like, no place to go. And I know a lot of people, so, you know, sometimes they walk with me or I sit on the corner under the street lamp. I have gone to the front of the red church here and, you know, snuggled in the corner, you know, out of the wind.
Is a lot of people using the red church? Are they for shelter?
Yes, and the first alarm's pretty good. They come at like 10 minutes to 6 in the morning and say it's time to get born and it's time to get up now. They're really cool here, but I don't stay here all the time because there's a lot of drug use on the property at night.
Right.
So I'm not into that. I'm just into trying to survive one more night.
How long have you been surviving in Santa Cruz?
I've been homeless since the 11th of March.
And what put you in that position?
My apartment complex over on Blaine Street, 170 Blaine Street, terminated my lease. And then I couldn't find a place to live, and Housing Authority declined my... I asked for an extension, and they declined it, so now I'm just permanently homeless again.
And this was the case before?
July 9th. they declined my...
And this was, you've been homeless before this whole time, like a couple years ago?
I was homeless 13 years ago when I got my housing authority, and then I moved in an apartment. And I had lived over there on Plain Street 9 years, and they tried to... you know, they didn't want to re-up their contract with the county, but the county made them. And so now they're finding little loopholes to get out of it and push people out that are on housing authority so that they can rent it higher
price. Well, they have to make a profit, you know.
Well, I guess so, but mine's to the fact that I'm severely disabled. I have in-home care providing hours for somebody to work, but where are they supposed to work if I don't have a place to live?
Down on the levee illegally with you at night?
I guess so, to clean my campsite up. I don't know.
There you go. They'll clean up your campsite.
Yeah.
Well, Take Back Santa Cruz might volunteer.
Yeah, maybe, huh? I mean, it's just, you know, it's caught in a loophole and declined. So I lost my housing authority. And before then, I was homeless 22 years.
And that was here in Santa Cruz?
Yes.
And how does that experience compare with your experience now?
It's very much harder to live and survive here in Santa Cruz.
And what has changed?
It's changed. It's the people's outlook on people that are homeless, especially women. They don't want to, even if I want to spare change, something is really hard.
So what's been, have you tried to spare change in the last week?
Yeah, I tried tonight, and I got a whole $1.30. I was looking for a slice of damn pizza. Somebody told me the church was feeding tonight, so I came here.
First time you've heard about the Red Church?
Yeah.
What kind of comments do you get? Do you get mostly people ignoring you, or what's the reaction?
They ignore me. They ignore me a lot. They think if they turn their head, you'll go away and disappear. I'm sorry, I'm not going to disappear into the woodwork.
Yeah? Where were you panhandling?
I mainly panhandle in front of the Mission Hill Creamery. I sit on the bench there, read a book, and have a little sign.
And what was the response? Any police or host hassles?
No. I write, "I'm hungry," on a piece of, you know, a cardboard, and I don't say a word, and they come over and they give me money if they want to. But, yeah, you know, sometimes I do ask, you know, "Can you spare a nickel or a dime or a penny?" And they look at me like, oh, and turn their head. I said, "I'm not going away. I am not invisible. There are people that are homeless and hungry. You know, you can't ignore us. We won't go away."
We're hoping to have at least some dessert at the this protest, the little flyer I just gave you at Cruzio Works on Friday. But that's not going to hold you. But there is supposed to be a little bit of food. I think there's bagels inside with cream cheese.
Yeah.
Maybe a salad. Not the most delightful meal, but...
Better than nothing.
Yeah. Anyway, we've been talking with that homeless survivor...
Linda Coburn.
Thank you, Linda. So I just heard an incident about a relatively, well, a non-homeless person who's pretty well off, was actually involved in the shelter program at the Red Church, offered a homeless guy,
go ahead,
his place to stay over the night. He stayed there, and the guy left for church in the morning, the fellow who... was the host, and the guest, he asked the guest to wash his clothes because he said he smelled pretty bad. He did, and then later he got a voicemail from the management, the host did, saying, we saw, you know, some old troll using the laundry room. If this happens again, you should be aware this is the kind of thing that will get you expelled from our complex. So I thought I would mention this.
Sounds a little like what happened with you and your son. I mean, in other words, here's a guy who has a guest, and his guest is washing his clothes in the laundromat, and not doing anything wrong, but his status as simply being a homeless-looking person will threaten this tenant's tenancy there.
Yeah, it's becoming a nation of untouchables.
Now, you said you lost your home in a similar way to that Linda Coburn did, the woman who talked about being homeless,
yes,
being housed for 13 years and then losing her housing.
The interesting thing was, I had Section 8, that's housing authority, for 12 years, almost 13 years, almost the same amount of time for my son and I. And he turned 18, and the... landlord sold the house, and the new owners needed the space that and wanted to live there.
They needed the space, or they said they needed the space?
Well, it doesn't matter whether they needed it or they said it. The results were the same.
It matters in the sense of whether it's a bogus attempt to gentrify the area and kick low-income people out, or whether it's something real.
I think they needed it because it wasn't a place you could gentrify. In fact, I think the rents have gone down in that neighborhood.
Hey, let us know about it. We'll dash on over there.
Yeah. My experience was, I'll just get a new voucher. I had been paying the Housing Authority back some money because they had made a mistake in telling me that the Social Security income for my son's disability to help him in school and help me wasn't considered income. And I took their word for it for a number of years, and then they turned around and went, sorry, we were wrong. You have to pay that money back. So I was paying that money back, and I didn't have
what
any
qualms. What city was this?
This was in Seattle. That's the city that my son was born in. So I was paying it back. I hadn't paid them all the way back, but I didn't think much of it that, I'll just get a new voucher and get a new place and continue paying them back. And then was rudely informed, we will not give you a voucher until all of it's paid back.
Though it was their mistake.
Even though it was their mistake. And that I found out from other people who've worked for Housing Authority, for Section 8, that this is standard policy, that you cannot get a new voucher even if your life depends on it, if you owe them any money, even if you're paying it back.
So you went immediately to Real Change, the homeless newspaper in Seattle, and demanded help.
No.
Oh, well. We're in the studio with Sean Deluge, also known as Dan Madison. Dan will be greeting you on the street as the pariah of the week in front of the Cruzio Works at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Is that where you plan to be?
Yes, and don't kick my shin too hard. It gets sore.
Yeah, his shin has been taking some kicking recently. If you're listening to this on August 15th, this is a live broadcast. You can call in, 427-3772. Let's hear some more interviews from the Red Church. About 3 days ago on the 12th, I believe, it is the 15th, 14th, 13th, probably the 11th. It's the 11th or the 12th.
You can call in and adopt me if you want.
And Dan is looking to be adopted, so if you'd like a nice pet around the house... with some elderly wisdom and who plays the guitar, as you have heard, or we won't comment on that particularly one way or the other, but you can make your own judgments.
The individual didn't want to give the account directly, but I just heard it, and this man will verify that it happened. Am I accurate in my statement?
You are accurate, sir.
Thank you. That's what's your name, sir?
Sean.
Aren't you that infamous Dan that's been causing so much trouble all around town?
I wouldn't know.
Wait a minute. Are you just sort of going to be butting in the middle of my tapes? This is ridiculous. All right, well, let's hear a little more anyway.
All right, then. We'll talk to you later. Talking with an anonymous person here, but who has some strong feelings. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to put it this way. The word homeless has come to be totally misused. Just a second. Let me get my head around it.
Okay.
Like, their idea is we can take this word and we can change its meaning in order to harm a whole lot of people, some of whom are out in the streets for no fault of their own. Look at 2008. And some of them are families, some of them are elders. And the misuse of that word means they're taking it and making it mean very ugly things that it was never meant to mean. Now, that's my whole statement, and I totally, absolutely mean it.
And you are homeless yourself, yeah?
I am a homeless person, and I am an elder.
But not a bad-looking elder, I got to tell you.
I'm going to say I'm fortunate that God is always around. I have never been mugged. And, I want to add something. This is so important. A woman that I like very much, who was actually hired at the Homeless Garden Project at a paying job, she has been in the loft, and she's also run the clothes closet there and did a fantastic job. She was in the shelter up until about 2 weeks ago. On one of her first Saturday nights out, she was mugged and robbed, means harmed and hurt. Now, that's a really good woman who has a degree in horticulture. Now, I'm not saying that that's a prerequisite for anything. I'm just saying this was a really good lady who was hurt for, in a way that should never happen to any woman or any man for that matter. And I, you know, when she told me about it on the street, I walked up and said, "Remember, we all love you. You're very good, and you do whatever it takes to keep from being harmed like that again."
You're here. Thank you.
Okay. I hope you find a good use for it, because God is around town.
Thank you. Or at least some of his creatures are.
No, he is.
Okay, I have a suggestion.
But I don't want to be bold.
I understand. But you have a suggestion about, we're talking to one of the many clients of the Red Church, and you have a suggestion about what?
Looking into the laws against illegally profiling homeless people and harassment and cruel and inhumane punishment to the homeless for making them stay awake all night and causing drug problems through their own society without even looking at what's causing the problem of staying up all night is causing people to be drug addicts, whether it be heroin or speed. It's their choice of drug, and that's what they're doing to stay up all night. There's got to be some law against what these people are doing to the homeless people. Some form of law out there that says that what they're doing is against the law.
There isn't, there should be, for damn sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. What I'm trying to do is mobilize community sentiment, since I don't see any laws or attorneys coming forward, but yeah good
sure
idea.
There is one out there.
I'd like to see it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, not a problem.
All right. Yes. Okay, we're talking with
John Hutchins.
Go ahead, John.
Okay, in the year 2013, you know, why is anybody on this planet even homeless? We have the technology to end all this shit. It shouldn't even exist. That's it.
And we've been talking with
John Hutchins.
Thanks, John.
That sounds like someone's a little bit hungover. Let's get musical, and I'll get back to you. And you are tuned to the stream of free radio at freakradio.org. We are looking for a transmitter site. I wish I were doing more than simply announcing it twice a week on the radio. Perhaps, Sean, you can keep an eye out. Need transmitter site. We'll chatter, whatever, and try to... We need a transmitter site in Santa Cruz because, as you can hear, or as you can't hear, we are not on the radio. We're only on the stream because we need a place to put a transmitter essentially in a tree in the second story of a house, anywhere in Santa Cruz other than the very downtown area. If you can help us, go to freakradio.org. If you have any ideas, please, please get in touch or give me a call. My name is Robert. I'm at the headquarters for HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF, area code 831, 831-423-4833. Let's get musical here.
Walk through a place that is silent and dark. Hope has been dashed to dust. It's become, it's turned dark and gray. Here all alone, as the guns of Nazareth are firing. Once up with pride, the foe we would slay. Our daggers were sharpened for that righteous day. Let none here betray us or stand in our way, as the guns of Nazareth are firing. What can be changed with the suicidal at heart? Who argue that on a great cause we've embarked, that one must stand ready to die in the land, as the guns of Nazareth are firing.
And that was another one from folk singer R.T. Carter. Continuing with some of these interviews so we can zip through them, unless you have some thoughts yourself, Sean, that you want to put out.
Oh, no, just keep them coming. We'd love to hear from everybody and their experiences in wonderful Santa Cruz.
And you can also show up at 1 o'clock tomorrow at the Cruzio Works, where we're going to be encouraging homeless people to do a speak out there as well in order to describe their own experiences so we can collect them, possibly... See if there is any pattern or any other businesses that discriminate that we wish to clarify well, that we wish to approach and ask them not to do the kinds of discriminatory behavior that Cruzio Works is doing. So let's hear some more interviews.
Talking with Becky Johnson. Becky, you have some corrections to make about the matters around the closing of the Paige Smith Community House and the filling up, or creaming, as you put it, of the Paul Lee Loft.
The skinny is that the Paul Lee Loft has closed and to any newcomers that might be on the waiting list, and the tenants who were living in Paige Smith Community House have all moved into the Paige Smith Paul Lee Loft, because they're going to take out the trailers there and put in new trailers, and it's going to take about 3 months. So for the next 3 months, there'll be pretty much zero shelter at the Homeless Services Center, a little bit at River Street. Certainly the family shelter will be open, and possibly some churches. That's it.
No sanctuary camp? Thank you, Becky Johnson. Thank you, unknown voice in the background.
So, I am now going to attempt to play some tape from the protests that we had the other day. I think, however, that it's... it may be a little difficult to do, so while I'm searching for the proper segment on my machine, I'm going to remind you and or advise you that the Palo Alto anti-habitation law in vehicles will be coming up on Monday at their city council meeting. And so if you want to do your bit to oppose it, you don't have to go all the way to Palo Alto. You can send an email to the Palo Alto City Council. And if you're interested in that, you should get on the Huff email list. I may try to put something up on Santa Cruz Indie Media, but I will also, I think I will probably put something up on Santa Cruz Indie Media, but you can also get in touch with me at rnorse3@hotmail.com, rnorse3@hotmail.com. And I'm continuing to search for relevant... tape to play here on the air, and hoping I'll find it shortly. We're almost there, folks. All right, these are segments from the Friday protest that happened last Friday, of all things, at the Cruzio Works. And they are kind of a taste of what you may be finding tomorrow if you come down, perhaps having gone first to the 8:15 a.m. status hearing of the Final Four of the Santa Cruz 11 in Department 6, which is happening at the courthouse, in case you want to go to that first. Might not be too exciting, who knows. It might be interesting. I think the attorneys are required to attend. So if you want to see a bunch of attorneys huddling for at least 8:15 in the morning, time to come. Brent Adams, one of the four, will also be there. He, of course, works with the Sanctuary Campground. If you want to talk to him about that, he may be willing to do that at that point or thereafter, or advise you as to where to go. I think he meets the first and third Wednesdays of every month. Not sure. His Sanctuary Campground proposal is online, and there's a great video about it. If only Brent would stop attacking other homeless activists, we'd all be happy with him. But he does have some worthy ideas. He is being persecuted in unjustly, and he needs support in that regard, no question about it. Now let's hear from the Friday last protest at Cruzio Works.
Management refused to come out and negotiate with us.
And, of course, this is not what I'd hoped, but perhaps, Sean, you have any other musical filler you'd like to jump in with?
Oh, I could do another song, I guess.
Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, that was Masturbation Parade.
Hey, well done there, Sean.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
And that may have provided enough breathing space for me to, well, not quite, but we're almost to the point where I can, again, try to play some of the stuff that went down on Friday. Let's see if I can give you a couple of other heads up while we're at it. Coming up next, of course, is going to be Uncle Dennis from the Cream to the Dregs, but he is away, so we'll be probably putting on an older show of his. And that should be coming up shortly. And there is some moving tape and some moving interviews from the protests that happened last Friday, and I think there's going to be some more coming up this Friday. We're actually going to be doing picketing back and forth with some of our own homemade picket signs. We'll have some petitions we'll encourage you to sign, and also encourage you to contact Cruzio and talk to them as to, particularly if you are a potential Cruzio customer or an actual Cruzio customer, just an interested person who wonders what the heck is going down. So let's see what kind of interviews happened. Jim Cruzio Internet, Suite 150 on Chestnut. No, it's Cedar Street. There we go. Cedar and Church, actually, at the crossroads. We've set up a table here. Becky actually has set up a table, and there's a number of petitions and a number of items on the table.
I set up the table.
You set up the table. The signs say Cruzio works unfair to houseless people. It says Cafe Huff.
because the revolution runs on weed and coffee. Crusio works, discriminates. And over here we have an individual sitting next to the building with a sign. Crusio works. We don't discriminate against homeless people. We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. We rescinded your 24/7 membership and invited you to purchase our 9-to-5. We had a complaint about an incident. Our responsibility is to the safety of our community.
These are all quotes from Crusio Works, and I think they're ironically intended on the sign to indicate that they actually do discriminate.
What are thoughts about that sign that you're got seated on your lap there, David?
Well, it's about some people in mid-management who have taken upon themselves to be God, Supreme Court, and everything that has to do with justice, and just make the decisions all themselves without giving other people consideration. It's really disgraceful and shameful.
Well, now, as a devil's advocate, how do you know how the decisions were made? You certainly weren't in the room when the decision was made on Tuesday to cut short the contract of Dan Madison, I guess his name.
Yeah, this is true, but, you know, I did hear the very, very warm, felt, sincere, almost apologetic tones from middle management, and I saw a scrambling to cover up their own mistakes and them not wanting to go any higher. I say to corporate, hey, wake up. Look what your middle management is doing. This is ridiculous. Do you really want this kind of reputation? I used to have a great respect for Crusio, but now, excuse me.
And we're talking with
David Minton Silva, also known as Great Uncle Gramps to all you.
I see, to all you grandchildren out there. Thank you, David. Weather is pleasant. I'm wearing a bathrobe and sporting my guardian teddy bear, Eduardo, the police bear. And Becky is distributing literature. And Dan, the discriminated against party, is walking by. Dan, what do you think of this protest so far?
I think it's a little early to tell, but I think we're getting an amazing response here. People are actually glancing every now and then.
I see. Well, thank you, Dan. That's a very optimistic approach. Or, should I say, characterization. Becky is actually approaching the populace. Becky, how's it going with your flyer distribution out here?
I feel like the invisible person.
So, in other words, you're not receiving the attention you might have otherwise hoped for.
People are going out of their way to not see what's going on.
Right.
But we've only been here like 10 minutes, so
we'll see. Why not give it a chance, for heaven's sake?
Homeless people, just say no. Do not patronize businesses that discriminate against poor people. It's bad business to do that. Thank you. Have a good day, guys. Don't patronize Crusio Works. They discriminate against poor people. Or at least two poor people I know.
And Becky is now making a sign to be placed at the back of my car, which is now conveniently parked right next to the demonstration area here. Crusio Works discriminates against houseless people. So far, there are a few signatures, a mighty few. Sign up for having a protest against discrimination at Crusio Works.
Registered.
Doesn't have to matter. It's not about voting.
Okay.
It's about your opinion. And we have free coffee even if you don't sign up. We're talking with
Charles.
Charles, you're telling me about there is a memorial for a homeless man who was killed.
Yes, he was killed on the last footbridge by the freeway a few weeks ago, almost a month ago.
How did he die? What was the cause of his death?
I'm told that he was killed by five men.
Was this a witness or is this sort of rumor?
It's pretty much confirmed about him getting beat by five guys.
And who confirmed it?
The police.
So have you spoken to the police?
I've talked to the security guards here.
And
in town.
Did they say this is sort of the scuttlebutt from the police, or were any of them actually observers? I'm trying to get down to that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Tell me something about Tom for those who can't get to his memorial. This will be played on Sunday.
He went by Fat Freddy. It's actually on Friday today. They changed it to today because of the Dead Dance being today.
Right.
But he was a member of the Grateful Dead community here in Santa Cruz for 30 years. And he was known by all, loved by all. He was actually a junkie that started an AA program here at the Red Church. And the last time I seen him, he was worried about getting to that meeting because he was the one that started it. That's about it.
And when was that last time?
About a month ago. month and a half ago.
Was there also, there was also another person who died on the levee, I understand. They said the needle was found near him, but there was questions whether he was any kind of a drug user.
Everyone I talked to said he wasn't a...
His name was?
George, I think.
Right.
But I don't. Everyone I talked to said he wasn't a junkie.
Well, it's much more convenient if he's a junkie. Now, come on, isn't that better? Then you don't have to worry so much, because he obviously willed his own death. It was a form of suicide.
And actually, this has been going on for decades here in Santa Cruz. I grew up a short time in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and the big thing on at nights is going troll busting.
Now, has that been still happening recently, as far as you know?
From what's happened, it sounds like it, you know.
Do you know of any other instances recently of this?
Not that I can confirm, you know, just rumors. Yeah.
And we have a comment now by Sean or Dan.
The interesting thing is when I grew up here in Santa Cruz in my teenage years.
What decade was that?
This was in the 70s, late 70s. Mm-hmm. The first incidents of trail busting where somebody got killed was an alcoholic homeless man who was beaten to death by three college-age men, and they called themselves troll busters back then. So this is definitely decades old, and it continues, it seems like, to this day.
How long did you stay in Santa Cruz for, Dan?
I was here for, I guess, from the time I was 15 until I was 21.
And what years were those?
75, late 75 to early 71, 81.
Thank you.
Responsible yourself for camping, sleeping, being?
No. I don't.
You better watch your step is all
yeah.
I can say. Are you outside? You have a backpack on?
Yeah.
Long beard? Eyeglasses?
Rum.
This is pretty serious stuff. We've been talking with...
You too.
Again? Charles. Yeah. Thank you, Charles.
Talking with...
Miss Daya McGowan.
And what happened to you, ma'am?
I got sick with cancer, and I lost my job. I lost my art studio. My daughter and I have been homeless for 5-6 days now. And we can't even get into Starbucks with our backpacks. But we customers, we were kicked out. We can't sit anywhere. We can't lay anywhere. We can't have ourselves covered from the cold. I have cancer and MS, and the cold hurts my muscles. I'm aching. I'm sick. They stole my marijuana yesterday. I have nothing. Nothing. And I don't know what to do except for take my iPod and document all this and do something good with it, because I can't stand by with the injustice. I can't.
Well, have a seat then. And, we'll tell you what we're up to. You can read our literature. Again, we've been talking with...
Miss Daya McGowan.
And Miss Daya, this is going to be on free radio if you're okay with that.
I'm perfectly fine with it. Yep.
I'll be right back. You too, say you're also experiencing some kind of discrimination, or are you just making a general comment?
I face discrimination.
Come over. Let's hear about it. What's your name?
My name's David.
Hey, David.
Man, the cops here pick on you, I swear. You'd be sitting down, not minding your own business, and they'll find reasons to come up to you and pick on you. They're telling us, like, we can lay down in a park, but we can't be covered when we lay down in the park. Otherwise, that's too comfortable. You can't be comfortable. How dare you?
When were you told this?
Like a couple days ago over in the park.
Daytime or nighttime?
During the nighttime. But still, where do they expect homeless people to go? Like, the shelters are completely filled. You can't sleep on a sidewalk. It's illegal to be homeless. Like, you can't...
But we don't want your kind around here.
We can't have that. Like, how dare you choose to be homeless? How dare you?
Have you gotten any citations of any kind?
I haven't gotten any. My friend here has, but I haven't gotten any personally yet.
And what's your name again?
My name's David.
And you are?
Marcella.
Any particular experiences, Marcella, you've had?
No.
No? Okay, well, that's good. That's good. No news could be good news in this case. How long have you been in town?
I just now got here yesterday. Traveling.
So you've already experienced the warm welcome from
the warm welcome of Santa Cruz already, man.
And where are you traveling from and where to?
Originally from Bakersfield and just across the U.S. Wherever I can go, try and find somewhere to settle.
Well, I notice you have your sleeves rolled up, so you're probably not an obvious junkie.
No, I'm not. No, see, I'm all clean.
We may have to do a blood test on you to make sure you're not one of those evil junkies.
Not those evil junkies.
Those needle-using junkies.
Can't have that. We ought to throw them in jail. That'll solve their problem.
Oh, yeah, that'll work. That's the plan. Again, we've been talking with...
David.
Thanks, David. And with...
Marcella.
Thank you, Marcella. So we're still on the corner, and it is still 2 o'clock. No sign of police officers, but a first alarm guard did just walk by, but ignored us. Should we feel slighted? I think not. And again, we're talking with...
Miss Daya McGowan.
Go ahead, Miss Daya.
I just want to say that I was a monk, a Protestant monk, for 14 years, and I was a missionary. And I've been in every disaster in this country. I gave and gave and gave, and now when it's my turn to have and I need someone to give to me, there's nothing there. No social work, no nothing. I was lied to, told that there was Social Security disability. I worked my whole life. Social Security's gone. These homeless shelters are full. I've done everything I can do as a human, and now that I'm in the position of being homeless, I can see that there's got to be something else I can do. There has to be. I can't just sit on my butt and do nothing. I didn't when I had everything, and now that I have nothing, there's got to be something more I can do.
You're welcome to hang with us and do some protesting, although that's not going to, you know, get you a shelter or food for sure, probably. But how long have you been in Santa Cruz?
For 7 days.
And where are you coming from?
Bakersfield, California.
And what brought you here?
Well, it was too hot in Bakersfield, and I'm sick. I have cancer and MS, and so I came here for the climate. And I was told that people are more friendly towards the homeless here. To be honest, in Bakersfield, I thought was the worst area ever, but they don't make you get up off the sidewalk there. They don't make you take the blanket off if you're cold. They don't make you leave a coffee shop, even if you're a customer, because you have a backpack. They don't make you do anything. Here, they are violently against us. They are violently against our own people. We have become a kind of country that actually probably needs to go to civil war. And being a monk, I've been politically unbiased. I didn't become political for a reason.
Unaligned.
What's that?
Unaligned. Neutral.
Completely. You know what? I didn't even know how politics worked until this year, and I retired, and I finally said, you know what? Things are so wrong that I need to find out what's going on in my own politics. I stuck my head in the sand for so long, and I think I'm one of the guilty party that so many people have done that. It's come to this, and I've never thought of war and anything as being a solution to anything, but my God, there's something, has some kind of revolt of some sort has to happen in order for this to change, because this is families on the street, mothers and children on the street. They're not all drug addicts. They're not all alcoholics. They haven't committed crimes, and I've noticed that they're becoming drug addicts and alcoholics because they can't take it anymore. And I've never done drugs and alcohol. I've been clean like that my whole life, but I can see why somebody is going to sit there and just drink, because there's nowhere else to go and there's nothing to do.
Stay around. You're doing good right now by talking about it.
All I could do is talk. If you can hear my voice, just listen. Because I have no family. I have nothing. I was never on the government dime. I can't just go and get hooked in like that. It takes a couple years. And I barely got a food card. And out here, I got it stolen yesterday. Everything. Even my medication. They don't care. I lost my health care because I lost my job. I lost my house.